Would you please stand for the reading of God's holy word in this memorable passage that represents, as Kara was teaching us, the birthday of the church? This is taken from Acts chapter 2, the first 13 verses. Hear the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of their own home. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are these who are speaking not Galileans? And how is it we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, and Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, each of us in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, send your Holy Spirit now. The words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts will be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You ever heard of Captain Cook? Captain Cook, Dan knows, he was a British explorer from the late 1700s, famous because he sailed parts of the world no European had ever sailed before. Set off on three journeys from England, he sailed the South Seas, and he discovered, at least we called it discovered, many places that we know familiar today: Australia, New Zealand, Hawaii, the west coast of the United States, all the way up to Alaska, many of the South Pacific islands like Tahiti, and he came this close to discovering Antarctica. Captain Cook, whose first name, by the way, was James, not Captain. Captain Cook would tell stories about this, and the word that would get back to home ignited people's excitement about the big world that they lived in and the discoveries that were being made, part of which were made because he was also a good scientist. He had scientists on the ship that helped him with navigation. They had the world's best clock, for example, so they could navigate and tell where they were in longitude. This was a very big deal, and because of that, he was able to make great maps. They saw an astronomical event that had never been seen before, the transit of Venus across the face of the sun. He learned about how to treat scurvy, so his crewmates were able to travel around the world because they didn't get scurvy. That's a big deal. But the stories he told about the indigenous people he discovered there really captured people's imaginations. He was the first to meet the Maori in New Zealand, the Aborigines in Australia, the Tahitians, the Hawaiians, and in fact, that's where he met his ultimate fate. He got into a fight with the king of Hawaii and ended up being killed on the Hawaiian island. They don't like Captain Cook in Hawaii, by the way. If you go there, that's not a name you want to brag about. But the stories were so inspirational that people from Europe were excited about this part of the world and they wanted to travel there. And the world has been colonized by Europeans ever since. And the stories have captivated us even today. I was reading the Master and Commander book. Steve is an expert on this. He was teaching me about that. It captured navigation and life at sea, and the mix of nautical skills and scientific skills are replete within there. But even more recently, there's a very famous TV series that was based on the travels of Captain Cook. I wonder if you know what it is. If it might help, I can give you a clue. It was also about an explorer whose mission was to go out and explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man had gone before, led not by Captain James Cook, but by Captain James Kirk. Star Trek is based on the travels of Captain Cook. Did you know that? In fact, as proof of this, one of the most pernicious enemies, adversaries that Captain Kirk faced was a guy named Sigmonium Khan, I think was his name. Khan. And the name of the ship that his cabin mates were trapped on, remember what that was? Any of you Trekkies know what the name of that ship was? Botany Bay. Guess who discovered Botany Bay in Australia? Captain Cook. There you go. Proof that the origin story of Star Trek is Captain Cook. I don't know about you, but I love these kind of origin stories. Where did something come from? How did we get to where we are? The origin stories are always a part of, for example, all these superhero movies, right? You know, the origin story of Batman and Superman and Spider-Man. In fact, every remake of the Superman, Batman, or Spider-Man series starts with their origin story, doesn't it? Somehow knowing their origin, knowing where they came from, explains how they are the way they are now, who they are. The origin story explains us. And so we're here today to talk about the church's origin story, Pentecost. Okay? And you heard me read from the passage here, the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came into the disciples. What do we know about what happened that day? It sounds like a pretty traumatic event. Suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. Not a breeze. This is a big wind. And the whole house was filled with noise. And then there were these tongues of fire things that came down and rested on their heads. This is a very unusual event, folks. Okay? This was a remarkable event. And people outside heard it. It wasn't just the people in the house that experienced it. Everybody outside heard it and said, "What's going on?" And then the people inside came outside and started speaking in languages they hadn't known before. And people understood it because they were real languages, their languages. And they heard the good news about God spoken at the end. And as a result of this remarkable event, did you know? Maybe this is why it's called the birth of the church. They got 3,000 new members. That's a good Sunday, right? All right. Do you know the origin story behind Pentecost? That's the origin story of the church. Do you know the origin story behind the origin story? Pentecost is a Jewish holiday. Okay? It's one of the holidays that's spelled out in the Old Testament, specifically in the book of Leviticus. It is a harvest festival. Okay? The Hebrew name for it is Shavuot. And it happens 50 days after Passover, hence the Penta and Pentecost, 50, right? 50 days after Pentecost, after Passover is Pentecost, Shavuot, where they are celebrating a harvest. What harvest? There had been a previous celebration of a harvest at Passover of the barley harvest. 50 days later at Shavuot, the Festival of Weeks is another name for it, they celebrate the wheat harvest. And so they come to Jerusalem. It's a pilgrimage. And they bring their first fruits, the best of what they have to offer, and place it before God at the temple. And they celebrate. It is, for lack of a better term, Jewish Thanksgiving. Okay? This is a celebration of how God has provided for them. Once again, their harvest has been bountiful. They have crops. They have first fruits they offer to God in thanksgiving for the way they have been blessed by God. Okay, so imagine the celebration. And because it's a pilgrimage, we have people from all over, people from different countries, people speaking different languages. And there's another thing that happens in this origin story behind the origin story that Jewish scholars had figured out by studying scripture carefully that this is also the day when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. So on this celebration, they're reading the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And, oh, I love this. They read one of my favorite Old Testament books, the book of Ruth, because that's also the story of a harvest. And so people are remembering how God had given the law to his people, to his chosen people. And it's this backdrop on which Pentecost, that we call it as Christians, happened. And what's happening there? is a rewriting of that understanding in light of what Christ has brought to us. As opposed to God bringing the law and the covenant to his chosen people at Mount Sinai, on this Pentecost, we have God bringing the good news to all people. It reverses the separation that happened at Babel, when people were given different languages to speak to divide them, to keep them from pretending to be God. Now all languages are being spoken so that the good news can go to all parts of the world. A reversal of that. And as Peter then explains to the confused people outside what's going on, Peter quotes the prophet Joel by saying, "In the last days, God declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy," which is exactly what the people were experiencing. This means the end times are here. The new time that God had promised is now here with the arrival of Christ. Those of you that are in the Revelation study recognize this kind of apocalyptic language as a sign that some new era has started. Pentecost is day one. This is the origin story behind our origin story. But Pentecost was not just an event that happened 2,000 years ago, and that was the end of that. The Holy Spirit is still with us today. And so I want to ask you about your personal origin story. Not the one that you had when you were born. Not the hometown and your parents and your friends and your schools. That's one kind of origin story. And it does partially explain who you are. We ask people when we don't know them and we want to get to know them, tell me your origin story, and we want to know these pieces of information. We all have that kind of an origin story. But do you have a Pentecostal origin story? A rebirth story, a born-again story, a story that happened because the Holy Spirit came upon you. If you're not familiar with what this is like, let me give you an analogy. Patricia and I have been mesmerized over the last 2 weeks about the new life of two new creatures, Sunny and Gizmo, baby bald eagles that have been in a nest in Big Bear Park in California. They were born just a few weeks ago. Mama and Daddy bald eagles have been feeding them in the nest, bringing them fish and nurturing them to grow. But the thing this captivated our interest has been, when will they leave the nest and will we get to see it? When will they spread their wings and fly for the first time? Because they've been living. They've been fed. Mommy and Daddy are right there taking care of them. All is good. They could just stay there, but they need to. But we're all thinking, as Mama and Daddy are thinking, as they bring the fish to them day after day, you need to go out and see the rest of the world. There's much more to life than this nest where you may be fed and you may be growing, but you aren't thriving. You need to spread your wings and fly. And you can see them trying. They flap their wings, but don't let go. Because they are not yet courageous enough to put their faith in something invisible that will support them and transform their life, the air. All they have to do is let go, spread their wings, and the air will take them. But they don't see it, so they don't trust it, so they stay where they are. The origin story I'm talking about is the origin story of what happens when you trust that invisible thing we call the Holy Spirit and let it take over your life. To soar, to go places you never would have dreamed. Because when you've experienced that, the thing you most want to do is go and tell everybody else, "This is awesome. I can fly and so can you. Join me." And the best way we get people to try that is to share their stories. So I want to conclude with a little bit of my personal Pentecostal origin story. Because there's some amazing things that I don't think could have happened any other way. I'm sharing this with you in hopes that maybe you'll join me in this miraculous flight. I think it happened in November of 1997. I remember it pretty well. I was at a low point, and I said, "God, I can't do this anymore. I need you to take over. And he did. I was in the middle of a Bible study, disciple Bible study, for those of you that grew up with the United Methodist Church. Maybe you're familiar with it. Changed my life. Made me encounter scripture. I read the stories. I studied the word. I don't think it's a coincidence that my Pentecostal rebirth happened in the midst of all that. But it wasn't because of any one thing that I read or any kind of an analytical tool that showed me a magic verse that told me that changed everything. It wasn't that at all. I think it really came down to the meaning of the word disciple and how I began to understand what that means. I was reading all these stories, but when I was praying and when I was living, I was praying for God, bless me for what I'm doing. Come into my life and bless the science that I'm doing, or bless the marriage, or bless my family, or whatever. In that moment, my prayer changed forever. Because I saw in that study of Bible how people had yielded to God so that he might use them to write a verse, to write a chapter in the greatest story ever told. And I said, I want to be a part of that. I want to help you, Lord, add another verse to your story. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. And so my prayer ever since has been, okay, what next? What do you want me to do? Patricia and I got married within a few months. I gave my first sermon within a few months. A few years later, the Lord sent us to Alabama. We were in North Carolina at the time. We didn't want to go. Wasn't our plan. But by giving ourselves to the Holy Spirit, when we would get mad at each other about this move we didn't want to make, we'd say, it's our fault. It's the Holy Spirit's fault. He's making us do it. So we went, not knowing what lay ahead, but knowing we were supposed to go. She got involved in Stephen ministry and became a leader of the women's ministry at the church we joined. I started leading by disciple Bible study and became a certified lay minister, like the 52 that joined our conference yesterday. And then I felt the calling to go into the ministry 10 years ago, all because I was saying, okay, what next? How do you need to use me? What comes next in your story? And then it happened again. The Lord said, okay, now we're going to move you to Houston. We didn't want to go. We were loving it in Alabama. And that was 2019. We would have been here 6 years ago, but then this pernicious thing called COVID happened. And we were delayed. And it's a funny thing how the Lord works. During that period, at first we were praying, Lord, don't send us to Houston. But after 2 years of waiting, we said, hurry up, Lord, send us to Houston. And while we were waiting, the church I was serving, a very large church, the oldest church in the state of Alabama, the oldest Methodist church anyway, went through the biggest crisis of a generation. We lost our senior pastor and our senior associate pastor. And here I am, a part-time guy working for the Army, helping out my church, got thrust front and center to help guide this church through its most tumultuous period. During COVID, because the Holy Spirit said, not yet. For 6 months, I helped lead that church. And would you know, the day the orders finally came in from the Army sending me to Houston, the same week that happened, the new pastor was appointed to that church. I didn't arrange that. This was just me saying, yes, sir, what next? So we came here. Not knowing a soul, didn't know any of you. All we wanted to do is find a church. That worked out pretty good. I never dreamed in a million years I'd be involved with planning a church, much less in a town where I knew nobody. This is what it looks like to spread your wings and trust the invisible presence of God in your life. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm nobody. I'm amazed God found anything for us to do, and yet he did, over and over again. And my reason for telling you this story is to show you that something bigger was going on all the time, and it can happen to you. So I ask again, what is your origin story? Your rebirth origin story. You're born again. Holy Spirit indwelled origin story. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never asked the Holy Spirit to take over, if you've never said, God, I want to be a part of the next chapter you're writing in the greatest story ever told, I invite you to consider doing that today. Spread your wings and boldly go where you've never gone before. Let us pray.